Well, good morning for each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be here in God's house once again. God himself is present. I too was impressed with that song, and as we talked about the holiness of God, may we approach a holy God this morning with the honor fitting to his name. I would agree with the thoughts that were shared, and thank you, Brother Javen, for stirring our minds there on thoughts of holiness. And I would agree it is possible for you and I to be holy. If through the blood of Jesus Christ, has been made possible, and we can claim that as unworthy as we feel many times. It caught my eye in our Sunday school lesson introduction. I think at least twice there in the introduction, it talks about, well, it was the same thought of Israel was to be holy as God is holy. And it says, there's two different verses, they were to be a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. I think that's a verse in Exodus. And then it gives the verse in 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 2:9, that we're called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And, you know, maybe we think of that word peculiar as kind of today we think of it. That's a little different unique. Are those some words we think of when we think of peculiar? But that's not what that means. I believe it means special or something like that. A special people is what we are. And praise the Lord. Thank God for that. For that privilege to be, that you and I can be one of the special people chosen chosen by him. Okay. Well, for a message this morning, I would like to start simply with an Old Testament story that we find in Numbers 13. You can turn there. I do plan to keep working at some topics from the Sermon on the Mount as I feel led. There is a couple of subjects for sure that I would want to touch on there, but for this morning, I did not feel led to share on that. Very familiar story here in Numbers 13. We call it the story of the spies, I believe. And I would just like to launch into this, read the story here, and then introduce the topic that we want to look at this morning. I start reading Numbers 13, verse 17. It's titled in my Bible, Men Ordered to Spy Out the Land. Okay, verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as the men came to Ramah. Maybe we'll just jump down a couple verses, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Keep on reading into chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I think we'll just stop reading there. It's hard to know where to maybe start and stop here. But the topic I want to consider for a little here this morning is that of influence. Maybe for a title could be The Power of Influence. Think about the influence that these 10 men had on this group. I don't know the count exactly, but I believe it was probably over 2 million people here. You know, this whole group had traveled from, and I realize we're going to look at this same account here, maybe in a couple of weeks with our Sunday school lesson. And we won't spend a lot of time with details and so on. But they had traveled all the way, the long, hot, dreary way from Egypt, desert, and a lot of hard going and so on. But God had been with them. They had made this trip. And there was one goal in mind, to get to the promised land, to get to Canaan, the land promised to them. And here these men, these 10 men, with a negative report, you know, in a couple of minutes, most likely, had this whole group discouraged and crying and totally changed their mind, this whole group, or at least the majority for sure. The power of influence. Just a simple dictionary definition of influence is to affect or alter the conduct, thought, or character of another. And that's certainly what we see here in this story. You know, I would imagine they were normal people like you and I. And if you're like me, you're just about back from a trip. You can't get home soon enough. That last hour, I don't know, it just seems to go by slow for me sometimes. It's just, let's just get home. We're looking forward to getting to the destination. If they were normal people like us, this was an exciting event. This was something they were looking forward to, an encouraging time to get to Canaan, okay? And so quick a time, so short a time, that was all upside down. And they were of a different mind. They suddenly were thinking, what can we do? Let's go back all the way. They must have forgot all those hard times. All the way back to Egypt, of all places that God had miraculously brought them from. The influence of 10 men changed their outlook. Well, this morning, we all have an influence. You have an influence. I have an influence. Maybe some more and some less, but I believe as human beings, all human beings have some kind of influence. We can talk about that more later if you aren't sure about that. But there's some people that have a lot of influence, are very influential, and I wonder who those people are in your mind. If you think of most influential people today, I wonder what goes through your mind. I could tell you one that goes through my mind is soon to be President Donald Trump. He seems to be a very influential person. It seems he can say things, can send messages, and have people just buzzing over what he is saying, or, you know, whether they agree with it or strongly disagree and so on. And he is very influential, it does seem. Or maybe you think of Mrs. Trump. You know, there's many people tomorrow, God willing, if God gives us the time, they're planning an inauguration, right? And there is many people that will, I say googly eye, or just zoom in on the First Lady. Or what's that purse she's carrying? What's the dress she's wearing? Those shoes? And they try to figure out what designer made this stuff. And it's a big deal. There's a lot of influence in other people, and people are affected by that. They want to go. Maybe most can't afford a purse like that and so on. I'm not sure. But they obsess over some of those things. A lot of influence that someone has in these positions. Maybe you think of persons like Elon Musk. You know, it's a lot of influence. They're considering introducing some or trying to pass some kind of legislation. And if he's for or against it, all of a sudden, boom, it sways the whole group one way or the other. It seems like there's influence. Taylor Swift. I don't know who all comes to your mind. People that have a huge following or a fan base, perhaps, that carry a lot of influence over a large group of people. But we all have some kind of influence. You know, we all have been influenced by others as well. There have been people that impacted your life, that impacted my life in one way or another. And I wonder who comes to your mind when you think of a person or people that have been influential in your life, impacted, made an impact on where you are today. Maybe you think of your parents, your dad, your mom, maybe a friend or a group of friends, relative, grandparent, someone you looked up to, someone who was a mentor in your life, perhaps. It would be interesting to hear your personal story of someone who impacted your life, hopefully in a positive way. At least that's how I was thinking it here. And maybe if you have one you want to share, you can do that in our testimony time. As I was thinking about my own personal experience, you know, I'm not sure who I would credit as the person who influenced me the most. I'm thankful for many people that have influenced, been an influence, a good influence in my life. I've had friends, I would say, that were the other kind of influence in my life, quite sadly. But I'm thankful for parents, godly parents, peers that were a good influence in my life, my wife. There's many that have influenced my life in positive ways, and I'm certainly thankful for, as church family, your influence currently in my life. You know, maybe most of us tend to think, you know, I'm not that influential of a person. You know, at least not like Mr. Trump. And I can think of a lot of people that I look up to as being a lot more influential than myself. Maybe I feel like I don't really impact people that much. Well, this morning, my influence and yours, however big or small we perceive that to be, is probably of more of an impact than we think. And I'd like for this message to provoke us to think about mostly my influence. What kind of influence am I? But also, I'd like to think a little about what is influencing me. What am I allowing to influence me? There's two parts of influence there. Both the influence I am and the influence I receive. Okay, we can't control some of that, but some we certainly can. And I'd also like to consider a little bit later on the seriousness of my influence. And I'd like to weave in perhaps some other verses and some other Bible stories of persons that were an influence either good or bad. And as I thought of Bible examples to illustrate the power of influence, it just seemed like the most of them that came to my mind were of a negative type, like the story here of the spies. Were an influence for the wrong instead of the good. Let that be a challenge to us. What about the influence that you and I leave? The main challenge here, perhaps, of this message. And I'd like to just try to make it practical if we can, breaking it down to maybe different groups of persons, could you say, to leaders, parents, young people, and children, and so on. Leaders, think about the influence you leave to those following you. Think about the impact that leaders had in Bible times, in the Old Testament times. You know, there were good there were kings we know as good kings, and there were kings we know as bad kings. They charted the course of the nation of Israel. You know, I believe there were faithful people in Israel, we would find that even when the wicked kings took the country, departed from God, God had a remnant there. There were people that stayed true, but by and large, the majority of people followed the wicked king and were wicked as well. Think about kings like Ahab is probably a prominent one that comes to our minds. Took the country away from God and into idol worship, worship of Baal, I believe. Jeroboam, King Jeroboam, we have description of many times. It's a terrible description. It's a terrible reputation that we know him as. The description is given, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. A terrible description, a terrible influence. An influence he had. He influenced people to do the wrong. Leaders, our influence is far-reaching and serious. And I won't spend much time more on that. But we were, as I thought about that, we were in we're working on a Bible study course, the upper grades in school, and we're studying the early Anabaptist history, and we're looking at the early church, and the course that things went, that mainstream Christianity went during the medieval times, and there were leaders that had corrupted the church and had taken and were leading the church astray. Very, very serious thing. Leaders, your influence is serious. There are people following you. And this morning, if you're sitting here thinking, well, who's he talking to? There's only a select few that fit that. This morning, if you are sitting here as a parent, especially a dad, you are a leader. You're called to be leader of your home. It's a serious responsibility. You know, you're the one in your marriage unit that is responsible for your home. I say it's a serious responsibility. And probably some of you, I think, have heard me say it before. But you know, when there's trouble in the marriage, when there's marriage problems, many times as I see it, the responsibility falls heavily on us as husbands. You know, I believe the wife has a part to play. And perhaps there is marriage troubles where the wife is solely at fault. I don't know. My observation, though, has been that most times it comes back squarely on our shoulders, brothers. Back to a husband not taking his place as God calls him to, not leading the home, you know, with love, like Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it. Okay. The influence of leaders and also of parents. Think about that influence a little bit. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again, we have a very similar verse in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, we have a responsibility. We have a call to influence our family, our children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it says. Teach them to love the Lord and not provoke them to anger. What all would be included in that, I'm not sure. But take time for your family as a father. Be there for your children. Take time to try to fix that broken toy or bike. You know, sometimes we need reminders that there's things that are more important than money and providing, although that is a necessary part as well. We need to find that balance, and I know it's sometimes hard to find. But we are called to influence our homes, our children, for the right. Mothers, think about your influence. Maybe sometimes you're tempted to think, who do I really influence? Or it's not that significant. I would beg to differ. Reconsider that. Think about your influence. Your influence, I believe, is about the greatest that there can be. President Abe Lincoln said this, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." That was from the man that many look up to as a good president. And for a Bible example, we won't turn to it, but we find in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, I believe, we find that Paul acknowledges that Timothy had been taught and he learned the faith from his mother. It was Lois and Eunice. Now I forget, his mother and grandmother, I forget which was which. But that, those two persons were the influence in his life for the good. And Paul acknowledged that influence was what shaped young Timothy's life. Mothers, be the influence. A good influence, it's a lasting influence that you have, a lasting impact that you have on your children and family. Young people, think about the influence you have and that you are in your youth group, your group of peers. You know, you are, maybe you feel like you're not in the in group or the one that makes the big splash, however you want to say that. But you are some kind of influence, one way or the other, for your peers, however large or small you see that to be. You know, I was thinking about people in our society, hopefully doesn't affect us, but that wrestle with bad habits like smoking, drinking, drug use, and so on. You know, many of them, those are habits that they picked up as young people. And they'll acknowledge they started it because everybody did it. It was the cool thing. They wish they hadn't. Think about your influence. What kind of influence are you? Do you really want to be the one that turns on the country music or whatever you want to put in there when you're with your friends? Is that the kind of influence you really want to, the impact you really want to have on their, your soul and theirs? Be strong like Daniel. Did we look at that story recently? You know, it wasn't popular to do what Daniel did and say, I'm not going to eat the king's food. You know, most of the others just went along with it. They just, what option do we have? They just went along with the program. It took resolve. It took purpose of heart to say no. And it still takes resolve. It still takes purpose in your heart to do the right. Younger children, think about your influence. Yes, even you have an influence. Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." You have an influence. Maybe it's with your siblings. with your friends, you know, are you going to listen and obey what mom and dad said they want? They expect this. Are you gonna listen up? Are you going to be obedient to that? You have an influence. And it will be an impact on others for good or bad. And cheerful obedience, I believe, is a good influence that you as children can have. Okay, what about the influences that come our way? The influences you and I receive. I already said, you know, we can't change some of those. Some of those, you know, we can't change where we were placed, the home God placed us in, some of those influences that come. But many we do as Christians, we have at least some control over. You know, we have the choice of what close friends that we're going to allow to impact us. Proverbs 22, chapter 22, verse 24 and 25 says this, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Maybe the emphasis there is on the angry part, I'm not sure. But I believe the point is made in that verse that our friends will impact us. The people we are closely associated with are going to impact us for either good or bad. What about your job, your work? What about working in an ungodly workplace? Are you an influence in that workplace for good? Or is that environment going to influence you in the wrong? It's sometimes a hard call, sometimes a judgment that we need to make, I believe. Is it going to be an influence that is detrimental to my soul? Another influence I thought of that we have a say in this one is that of our phone and our technology that's right at our fingertips. You know, we can use that as a tool. It can be used in a lot of right ways, but there is a lot of opportunity for us to be influenced in the wrong way. There's lots of applications. You know, am I okay with regularly listening to a podcast or a talk or something like that when I know those people will use bad language, profanity, bad words come out in that quite often? Am I okay with that? 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Don't be fooled, that saying. That will influence you. That kind of influence will corrupt and drag you down. Also, dads, as leader of your home, what influence are you allowing into your home? So what influence are you this morning, and what are you allowing to influence you as a Christian? All right, how serious is my influence? Maybe consider that a little bit. I think we've implied this morning that it is very serious. It's a very important thing. You know, the story we started with here, the story here of the 10 spies, if you read on later in chapter 14 there, those men that influenced the congregation, that influenced that group of people for wrong, they perished, they died. And I'm not sure if there was a day in between there or not. It talks about they wept all that night, and then it goes on. And it's after that. So I'm not sure if that was the next day or instantly. But they perished. I believe it shows how serious a thing it is. It was and is to God. They were accountable for the wrong influence that they had left. And I believe, yes, I know, you and I, we are accountable, my friends. Yes, for I'm accountable for the sake of my own soul. We're also accountable for the souls of others that we have influence on. It's not just about us this morning. It's about helping others as well. It's about helping those that we work with, those that we are in contact with, our families. It's about helping them as well, our church brother. We are our brother's keeper. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We're not in this by ourselves. It's not just about myself. And if I am negligent, and by my life influence another in the wrong, I believe there's a serious reckoning for that. And we have Jesus' words in Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing if our influence, if my influence causes someone else to lose out. Okay. I would like to close with a couple positive verses here that encourage us in being a good influence. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Good friends, I believe, are just like the grindstone that sharpens the dull knife. They are that refreshing influence in the life of a friend. They're an influence in my life and yours. Good friends are that keep us sharp. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Also, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's what we're called to as Christians. We're called to use our influence to encourage good in others, to encourage, to provoke unto love and good works. Okay, familiar verses in Matthew 5. Starting verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to be a good influence. We're to be a light. We're to be salt, and not salt that has lost its salinity. It's worthless. You throw it away. But we're to be like salt that makes an impact for the good. All right. And we're to be as a light that shines bright in a dark world. You know, none of us know when our time to make an impact is over. We might not have the rest of today. It's a serious thing. What legacy am I leaving? How am I influencing others while God has given me life? Well, God bless you as you strive this morning as we go from here to be the good influence, to be a salt and a light and impact others. for Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.